It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app. Like Jalen after the game, I'm speechless. Like, I'm out of words, Elliot. I am out of words to keep coming in here and reacting to the unbelievable, remarkable things we see each week. Within the span of 6 days, we've seen this team be down 10 at halftime to the Chiefs and then the Bills and miraculously win games. I freaking love this team. Yeah, this team is amazing. They're so freaking tough and resilient. And I know they're playing with fire here and there and all that. But, like, man, they just freaking win no matter what the situation is. No matter if they need a guy to hit a 59-yard field goal in a driving rainstorm. It doesn't matter. They just win. What a freaking team. Good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Dude, what world are we living in?
It's
right
unbelievable.
Now? I mean, I know it's something you get used to in a way because they just win all the time. But think about what we saw last night. They were down 10 at halftime. They were playing terribly. Probably the worst half of football we've seen from them this year.
I would agree.
Arguably, right?
Like
offense,
agree.
Yeah. It's pouring rain. They turned the ball over twice in the first half.
Back-to-back weeks, by the way. They can't get away from the freaking rain.
Yeah, seriously. Well, build a dome. That's all I really have to say.
No.
So they two turnovers at half. They're playing terribly. In the second half, they put up 30 points. Think about how they tried to hand this game to the Bills. The Bills drove down the field, took the lead in the final, minute and a half or whatever of regulation. Then on the game tying field goal drive, they twice false start to kick Jake Elliott back 10 more yards.
Jason Kelce, no less.
Right, exactly.
Of all people.
They incorrectly, in my opinion, didn't go for two after that the last touchdown.
I was all right with it to meet a 4-point lead, but
I would think not the right call. Overtime, they lose the coin flip. The Bills score first. They have a third down on the next possession, and they still win the game. Like, there were five or six things that if they don't go the Eagles' way, they lose that game. And we're talking today about the fact that they lost. But it just always goes Eagles' way. And I don't mean that in a way that they're lucky.
Luck is the residue of design.
But it always happens. I mean, if you think about it, they're one Jalen Hurts pass away from being undefeated.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible pass by Jalen. They deserve to lose that game, all those things. But, like, They know how to win. And yesterday, so during the week, I'll give Bills fans a little bit of credit. Like, they were pretty active on Twitter. During the week, I said repeatedly that Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Josh Allen. And yesterday in the first half, it certainly did not look that way. Josh Allen was, to his credit, Josh Allen was unbelievable.
It was one of his best games of the year. I mean, he made the one mistake to Bradberry, and that was more a great play by Bradberry or a smart play by Bradberry than a horrible mistake by Allen. It was, you know, but, you know, that was the first game all year. It felt like Josh Allen didn't give the game away to the other team, you know?
But to me, like, yesterday is exactly why quarterback stats are a win. It's exactly why.
Why wins are a quarterback stat.
Yeah. Why wins are a quarterback stat.
We know quarterback stats are a win for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they're always a win for Jalen.
That's the brand.
I mean, Josh Allen in the second half has that interception. Like, Jalen Hurts in the second half, 4 touchdowns. There's just a difference between a quarterback that knows how to win and a quarterback that's really talented, but you just can't trust.
Josh Allen's 0-6 in overtime.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, that's almost as bad as the Kyle Shanahan, like 0-38 in the fourth or whatever. Yeah. So there was a clip that circulated this week, and I think it was before Jalen got drafted. It was either that or his senior year. It was right before the draft. And he's talking to a reporter, and the guy says something like, you know, you only lost 4 games in college. Like, the NFL is not going to be like that. And Jalen looks at him and goes, we'll see. And like,
who does that?
He's right. He's only lost 2 regular season games the last 2 years. How many games is this guy going to lose in the next 4 years? Maybe 10? I mean, if you don't include the playoffs, like, if he starts losing more, he might hit double-digit losses by, like, 2029. Like, it's unbelievable. And every time after the game, the Eagles send out emails with, like, updated stats, whatever.
It's unbelievable. And I actually left it open in my thing.
The names that are attached to Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts at this point are, like, Don Shula, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
I have it up. I'm ready. So, Nick Sirianni, third coach in NFL history to guide his team to back-to-back 10-1 starts, Tony Dungy, Don Shula, the only other 2 coaches. Jalen Hurts, the second NFL QB since 1950 to start 10-1 or better in back-to-back years. Peyton Manning, the only other guy to do it. It's like a lot of that. I mean, Nick Sirianni, how about this one? Nick Sirianni's record, 33-12 career record, is the highest regular season winning percentage by a coach in franchise history. It's also the second best figure by a coach since 2020. I mean, like, all these stats are just insane. Like, he's got the fifth most victories, or it's the fifth most victories by head coach combo in their first 45 games ever. Like, it's just stat after stat after stat after stat that is like,
they're 17-3 at home in their last 20 home games. Like, the Link is becoming maybe the hardest place in the NFL to go in and play. I remember
Jalen Hurts winning 14 straight games against teams with a winning record coming in.
I think
that is the longest streak since 1950.
Well, so much for the whole who are they playing thing. 14 straight wins with a winning record. And I think Jalen Hurts is 10-0 in his last 10 games where he's trailing by 10 points.
That's correct.
It's 8-0 or something like that.
No one else has ever done that.
It's absurd.
And I think it's, what is it? The stat was it's 8. He's won 8 straight games.
When trailing by 10
points. By 10 or more. No other quarterback had more than 4 straight.
It's like, I said this on the last post-game pod. And, you know, Joe DeCamera said this today on the morning show. Like, sometimes you don't want to try to be repetitive, but it's like, what else do you say? I mean, if you think about, they didn't win the Super Bowl last year. But if those last 3 minutes go a little differently, we're talking about the best stretch an NFL team has probably ever had. Like, ever.
Up there. I mean,
they
the
were
85 Bears. Yeah, you like McMahon.
There's maybe,
they went,
maybe
that Peyton Manning Colts team that went 14-2 and then won the Super Bowl the next year or whatever. Like, that kind
of stuff. There are teams, but, like, in terms of teams I can remember the past, like, 10 years, like, I don't know. Like, there's not many where they just win week after week after week. And I think, too, what showed yesterday, and look, you know I'm not a big rain guy, so I'm not just saying this. Like, it was miserable out on that field.
It looked horrible.
It looked so, like,
you know, we live, you know, a 6-7 minute drive from the stadium.
Yeah.
I kept looking out the window, and I did it particularly right before Jake Elliott's field goal, and it was disgusting.
Yeah, it was pouring rain.
At home, and I am sorry, Jake Elliott, because I will never doubt you. You should never doubt me. Like, I looked out the window, saw the rain, and I turned to Emily, and I said, we lost.
There was no way he was making. Yeah,
there's a 59-yard field goal in that. What I'm looking at outside, I'm like, there is no way on earth that this kick is going in.
Yeah, and he nails it. I mean, Jake Elliott's probably a Hall of Famer if they win a Super Bowl.
There's one kicker in the Hall of Fame. Like,
well, I don't know who would have a better case than Jake Elliott.
Evan Jerry definitely has a better case.
Well, but I mean,
he has the best case.
He already won one Super Bowl where he hit a really big kick in. He'll probably play in another Super Bowl, and we'll see if they win it. he has
played in two Super Bowls with kicks, like one,
yeah,
like two.
But Jake Elliott might not be
like
that.
Literally walk off kicks twice.
I
mean, come on.
But
Vinatieri had the kick against Oakland, and that. I mean, Vinatieri is Vinatieri.
Right.
I get what you're saying. Jake Elliott is on his way.
Jake
to
Elliott
a remarkable
is on
career
a Hall
a
of is on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
I don't agree with that, but I get your point.
I think it's pretty close.
There's no kickers in right now. There are no kickers in the Hall
of
Fame.
Well, I think Jake Elliott.
There's a punter in.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I mean, might be like one kicker is in.
Well, that's.
Adam Vinatieri will get in. That'll
that's
be two,
a larger discussion to be had about kickers and their spot in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, look, if we're going to let Philip Rivers in, I think. If Matt Ryan is going to be in the Hall of Fame, Jake Elliott deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
No, you should tweet out. Jake Elliott's a better football player.
Yeah, he's way more a Hall of Fame player than Philip Rivers. Talk about a stat compiler. What's one big clutch thing Philip Rivers ever did? Jake Elliott's probably had like 10 more clutch moments than Philip Rivers ever had.
Such a good take.
I mean, seriously.
This might be my. You have to roll with this.
Yeah, I'm going to.
My new favorite take.
Yeah.
This is really.
I mean, he's like, no offense to David Akers, but. He's far.
Oh, he's definitely the best kicker in the franchise.
Yeah.
Far as strong. Akers had big gigs and was great for a long time. But
yeah.
But Jake Elliott has surpassed. He's the best kicker in the history.
I mean, think about to go back to the Sirianni and Hurts thing. And I know it's early and blah blah blah. But think of all the people on this team that are on their way, a Hall of Fame trajectory. And I know it's early for Hurts and Sirianni, but no quarterback and quarterback head coach duo has ever started like this. So they're not gonna keep winning this way. But Sirianni, Hurts. Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox, probably not going to get in, but on the way.
AJ Devontae, both potential Hall of Fame talents.
Darius Slay's not going to get in,
Redick,
but interesting case.
If he does this for five more years, could be a Hall of Famer.
Maybe,
theoretically, he's
yeah.
not yet, but theoretically, the numbers could pile up with all the sacks.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter, he's a kid, but
right.
Look, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I don't get it, but
I get your point, especially coming back. And Joe mentioned this on the air today. He's 2020 wasn't that long ago.
It feels absurd.
You remember where we were in 2020 and where we were talking? Howie Roseman, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Where we were talking about, the lack of blue chippers, the lack of young talent. Where this roster is 3 years later is remarkable. Honestly, in 3 years, it's probably the most unbelievable job of turning over a roster we've ever
seen.
Dude,
years ago, we were sitting in the studio and there was a sign across the street
Fire Howie on 76.
But I was in the Eagles locker room this week and just talking to somebody, and I was thinking it's gonna be sad when this is over. And I'm not trying to be a buzz.
There. What are you doing?
No, I mean,
we're 10-1 right now. What are we talking about?
No. But what I'm saying is I'm
yeah,
saying it as a way to
appreciate
what is
moment,
happening.
I know, but let's not worry about what's over.
I know. But
you never know. Tom Brady won six championships.
Dude, I'm not saying anytime
all
soon.
Right, let's relax.
But I'm saying there will be a point where we are doing post-game pods, and it's not they win all the time.
I don't know. Jalen will outlive me as quarterback. I think I'll die before Jalen's out the quarterback.
Honestly, but I hope not. But I just mean, it shouldn't be taken for granted.
They definitely agree with that.
The Buffalo Bills in pouring rain in overtime yesterday, where Jalen Hurts had 5 touchdowns and ran in the game-winning touchdown in overtime. This is stuff 3 years ago you would have dreamed to have happen. You would have, Eagles fans would have sat there and been I would kill for that type of win. Think about 2020, again, to your point. They couldn't beat anybody. Even their wins were disgusting. And now they're winning, in epic fashion and all those things. So I think it's important just to appreciate what is going on. Right now,
I agree with you. Yeah, don't take it for granted. It's unbelievable. That's why it's so important they win the Super Bowl.
So I have a pretty
in one of these years here, particularly this year or ever, but to have this type of greatness, and that's what it is. It is consistent greatness on a week to week basis. What we've watched in this team the last 2 years. Again, the stats we rail off. They've been the Tucker Bagley stat we keep bringing up. Now it's 31 weeks or whatever. They've had the best record in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, It is miraculous. It is amazing. To your point, we probably will never see this type of dominance on a regular season stretch ever again in our lives.
I don't think we ever will. It might be close.
That's why they have to get a Super Bowl. This era, and I want them to get more, obviously, one. If you gave me an over-under of if you said you could have one Super Bowl with Jalen, lock it in no matter what, lock it in, but you get one, I wouldn't take it. I hope and expect Jalen can win more than one, but they have to get one. For this whole thing to be as great as it is, it needs that title.
So I'll say, I might not know football. I might not know, things. But I definitely know fairness.
I might not know things.
I might not know things. I know fairness. And it would be, and I'm saying this with all sincerity, it would be unfair if the Eagles didn't play the Super Bowl.
It
would be
take.
Unfair. It would not be fair. If the Eagles don't get a Super Bowl... It would be unfair. That's the best way to put it. They deserve a Super Bowl. They deserve it. If they go last year and this year and don't get a Super Bowl, that is unfair. That's the only way I can put it.
That's a great
like,
word.
You know, the early 2000 Eagles probably deserved one. Like, you know, you can go through different teams. The Phillies were close. I don't think the Phillies, like, deserved the World Series.
I think they did, but not to this level. Eagles, to your point.
It would be a, it would
unfair
be,
is a very funny word for it.
It's the best word I can think of.
But the heart of what you're saying, in terms of just, like, those guys deserve to be champions.
Yes.
Not even just I want it for them, or this, like, just like what they deserve, what I feel like they have earned.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
It's the most I ever felt that
way. It would be unfair. It would be unfair.
Like, love it.
They deserve to have this capped off with a Super Bowl.
Right? All right.
Like, Sirianni deserves a parade.
I'm with you, dude. I get it.
The only way I can put it, like, it is unfair if they don't win.
Let's get to some specifics from the game. Let's start with Jalen, because he was unbelievable. And this kid's ability, and he's a kid, he's 25. It's crazy to think about. I know we've talked about it a million times, but just his ability to never be rattled, to be down 10 at halftime and just come out and 3-and-out again to start, an ugly 3-and-out again. And then he gets the ball back. It's like, no problem. That last drive, just so calm, so cool, just so, the platitude, we don't have any more platitudes to say. I already said, like, at 24, I've never seen anyone like in my life like him. And it's just, but it keeps growing, and he keeps doing it. And we talked about this on the radio today, you did when you were on with the morning show as well, but the idea of, like, the comments after the game where he was almost like, I don't even know how to enjoy this. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to, like, react now. We've never seen someone in our lifetime, in my opinion, in Philadelphia sports, so locked in.
Yeah.
So focused on one singular mission and one singular goal and putting all of himself into achieving it, and to the point where, again, like, he looks miserable while he's playing because it's just so focused and so intense.
So I'm in the post-game presser yesterday, and Jalen's up there talking, and I kept thinking he kind of is like a tragic figure in a way. Like, this is probably what it was like to be in the room with, like, all-time greats, or, like, you know, MJ or Tom Brady, or even, like, I don't know, Picasso. Just, like, I'm being serious. people who are so good at what they do, they can't enjoy it. Like, I would kill to have the level of fame and success that Jalen has. And if I ever have that much money, maybe this is probably why I never will, but I would be so complacent at that point. Like,
I
would be up at the podium being like, can you believe I did it again? Like, look at this. Look how amazing I am. Look at these numbers. Like Eagles, come here and read off these numbers. Like, and I look at Jalen up there, and it's almost tragic. Like, he sits up there, and he can't enjoy it. I thought it was like an out-of-body experience he was having, where he was saying to himself, I don't know what to say, because he knows he should enjoy it, and he knows what he's doing is amazing, but he can't allow himself to. And that's why he's so great. Like, it's probably what it's like to be in the room with anybody that's amazing at something, where you say, like, people say to be great, you have to be, like, a little off, or to be a little, like, crazy or whatever. And there's a part of Jalen that you look at him like is not normal in that way, but that's what makes him great, I think.
Yeah, I think it's clearly, I mean,
but it's kind of sad at the same time.
And I'm sure
he finds times to enjoy it, and I'm sure he celebrates, and I hope for him, I hope he has those moments. But even yesterday, he's up at the podium, and he almost basically, and paraphrasing fewer, like, basically was like, I can't believe we won. He was like, I know we're winning, but I can't believe we're winning, is kind of what he said.
Well, and what he's also saying is, we're winning, but I'm not playing good enough. Like, that's what he's saying consistently. He keeps saying, like, yeah, we won, and that's the main thing, and I'm trying to focus on that. I'm trying to say the main thing is the main thing, and winning is all that matters. But, like, I hate that this happened, and I hate that this happened, and I hate that that play happened, and I shouldn't have done that there. Like, that's the way he is, and I think it's absolutely why he's as great as he is. I think it's that unwavering dedication to being great, where nothing is ever good enough, that you could always be better. You can always do more. You can always, unless you play a perfect game, which is impossible, there's no perfect game that you can play. There's always a throw. There's always this. He's always going to focus on—
Well, there is Nick Foles' Super Bowl.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's always going to focus on the missed throw, the misplay, even if it's minutia. And I think that's why he's so great. But I also, to your point, I do think that does I mean, you watch a guy like Brandon Graham, you know, on the other side of things, mm-hmm. who has had a great career and is, you know, not a Hall of Famer,
Eagles
but
Hall
an Eagles
Famer.
Hall of Famer and has the greatest play in the history of the franchise and is beloved in this town. But, like, you watch Brandon, like, that dude's having a blast out.
Yeah.
Like, he is having, even, you know, when they went the coin toss, like, it don't matter. Like,
right.
he's just out there having fun playing a game. And it's wild to watch that end of it. And then Jalen, who it won't even smile on the field.
You know?
It's just such a different way of going about their business.
I don't know what you can see on the broadcast, but if you just look at after they score a touchdown,
he just goes to the tablet.
He just walks right to the sideline.
Straight faced.
Like nothing.
Stoic.
Even, like, honestly, when he scored in overtime, I think, like, if people hadn't rushed him, he probably would have just kind of walked off the field.
Yeah.
Like, but I think it's because I think just something is burning inside of him, but also, like, to get back to it being fair, I think he knows that this season is only about winning the Super Bowl. And I don't think he will be any form of content until he rights what he feels is a wrong last
I don't
year
think there's any
and
question.
Losing that Super Bowl.
I don't think there's any question about it. And I, like, that's what I, like, if they don't win it this year, he's going to be this way until he wins. And then, I think he's the kind of guy who will win it and find a new thing.
So I was thinking about this yesterday.
Well, now I got to get another.
What's the post-game press conference going to be like when they win the Super Bowl?
Well, so the most...
Like, what do you think he's going to say? Like,
I think it'll be some... I think that... I always think back into the Jason Kelce post-Super Bowl press conference as, I think, the most fascinating I've ever heard.
Wait, so the...
Jason Kelce...
In 2017, the press conference
after,
or the
when
speech?
He was at the podium.
Okay,
no,
right.
When he was at the podium.
I don't remember this. That's why
when
he
said, and I'll paraphrase, but it was something to the effect of, I have just reached the pinnacle of what I do.
Yeah.
You know, this is it. I did the greatest thing that you can do, and I did it with a bunch of people I love,
mm-hmm.
like, who are brothers to me. He's like, where do I go from here? He's like, what's next? Like, what is the, how, like, it was like such a range of emotions that he was feeling, but he's like, I've achieved it. I did it. He's like, but what's next? He's like, what do you, like, how do you kind of, you know, go forward from there? Because you did what
it's
you're
like, you play six more years.
No, but it's such a fascinating thing, and it's such a, and especially for Jalen, specifically bringing it back to this specific conversation about Jalen, when that one thing you focus on so intensely, like Jalen does. Like, Jason Kelce talking about reaching the pinnacle of his career. Like, Jalen, if they can win the Super Bowl, not reaching the pinnacle of his career, he's reaching that thing.
Yeah.
That goal at the end. I know he says it's all about the journey, there's no end. But, like, he does have an end for this specific thing. Like, he wants to win a freaking Super Bowl. Like, it'll be fascinating to see how, you know, provided he wins it, which we think he can and will at some point here, like, how he reacts to that and what it does to him as a human is going to be fascinating to see.
Like, I could picture him getting up there and just being what he always is, which is stoic, like, great win, very excited, like, you know, kind of just what he always is.
Time to get back to work.
Yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, I could picture him saying that.
I honestly, if I would bet on that phrase being said at some point.
Yeah, like, keep the main thing, like, all right. I could also picture him taking a victory lap. Like, I think there is definitely a part of Jalen, and this is probably what drives him for sure, that feels he's been constantly underappreciated.
He has.
Like, Alabama moved on from him, right?
And Oklahoma, basically until right now. And even nationally, but...
Yeah, and let's be real. Like, the Eagles draft him to be a backup.
Yeah.
They tried to trade for Russell
Wilson.
That's what
I mean, until, like, right now.
Yeah. I think that there's a chance that whenever we see Jalen, like, break out... And I don't want to say character, but whenever we, like, see him kind of let loose a little, there will be a lot coming out of... Anger is not the right word, but, like, how dare you all doubted me type of thing. And he will deserve it. He 100% deserves to take that victory
how
lap when it happens.
You.
So I have a overarching take, too, that will come from the Jalen thing, but it's not game specific. Do you want me to drop
it
now?
Yeah, okay. Sure. And then we'll get some more game specific.
Yeah, yeah. I am definitely worried about the team.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What? Where is this coming from?
Like, they're great. They win.
How could you possibly be worried?
And it comes back to the fairness thing. The team is playing too close for comfort, in my opinion. Like, they deserve to win the Super Bowl. I think they probably will win the Super Bowl, all those things. But, man, like, they've trailed a halftime 4 straight weeks. They're being outgained every week. They turn the ball over all the time. Like, they are setting it up where, come playoff time, I could picture them losing to a team they're better than. Just, like, on some fluke stuff. And I know they win and everything, but, man, like, even yesterday, like, the turnovers, and then in the overtime, I mean, the second half, like, as impressive as they were, two false starts on Kelce to kick the thing back. They lose a coin flip. The Bills score. The Bills go down the field and score a touchdown. Like, I don't know, man. There is part of me that feels not as confident as I used to. Because the turnovers are still happening. And I just, they are not playing great football. And I'm worried that it's going to burn them. And they don't deserve to be burned by it, but I'm worried about it.
Yeah, that's a loser mentality, buddy.
I mean, look. Like
all they do is win. They're 10-1. Look, I get your point. I get where you're coming from. I just think that I expect them to. I mean, look, they've been getting better at things that's gone on. I mean, now they're like 9th in red zone.
Yeah, they're really good in the red zone, for sure.
They fix these things. I think. And they, look, they've been better with the turnovers. There's still turnover, but you know, a lot of them are.
I don't know, man. They have 5 turnovers in the last 4 games.
Yeah, that's still better than they were earlier in the season.
Yeah,
they were turning the ball
over
like crazy.
Not.
I'm saying they're improving on it.
Yeah.
Look, I get your point. I've learned to trust them. And I think on the flip side, I think the experience of winning these games the way they're winning
will help them. I agree.
I think that is more important than playing mistake-free football right now. Like, I think you need to get to the point where you're playing much less mistake-free football than you're playing. But I think knowing that you can make mistakes and still win games, I think knowing you can be down 10 at halftime against good teams win games, knowing that you can go into overtime, give up a field goal, and walk down the field and win. Like, I think all these experiences, these reps for these guys are way more important than the, like, if they could go out. Look, we saw it last year where they just went out and blew out teams. Like, you know,
in the playoffs. You're talking about all year.
Period.
Sorry. Yeah,
period.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, and then when they got into a really close game in the Super Bowl, it didn't go their way. And I'm not saying that's why,
right. But
I get your point. I look at it from the other perspective. These are formative team-building things for these guys that when the games are most important and when the moments matter the most, they're the team that knows that they're going to come through in those moments, and that's going to help them more than the reverse.
I 100% think that is true. Like, I would be shocked if I picked them to lose a game in the playoffs or the Super Bowl, and I don't think I will. Like, I think they're the best team in the league. My concern is, like, last year when they lost the Super Bowl, and you know, because we obviously did everyday pods and the post, like, I was like, okay is maybe strong, but I could sit there and go, this was a great team that had a great year that lost a great game, and it didn't feel like a travesty to me they didn't win the Super Bowl. Like I said, if like 20 minutes ago or whatever, it would be unfair if they didn't win it this year, and I am
like,
worried.
You're where I'm at. This is good. Now, but remember last year at the whole conversation, it won't feel like you change it, and I was like, yes, it will. Welcome aboard.
But
they have to win the Super Bowl. That's the way.
But
it
if they
is.
Don't
they
win it this
to.
Year, like then it's different. And man, I'm just really worried there, because again, like the turnovers are a problem. They just are. Like I can just see it so vividly now in the playoffs. They turn the ball over twice. There's a fumble issue. The ball bounces a weird way on an interception, and like, while it's not luck whatsoever, you just look at how many close calls they've had this year, and they've deserved to win all those games. There is going to be a moment where it just doesn't go their way. Like, you can be the best in the world at what you do and win 99 out of 100 times, but they just have to hope that 100th game isn't one of the 3 games in the playoffs that they cannot lose or the season is over. And I know it only really matters how you play in the playoffs, and last year they weren't playing great going into the playoffs, and they still dominated, like, all those things. But it just feels like last year they were playing a brand of football that, like, they were great. This year they're a great team too, but this year it just feels like they're winning games more 60-40 instead of last year it was like 80-20. And it's just going to be very upsetting if they lose a game in the playoffs.
Well, yeah.
I'm just being honest.
I get your point. But I think you're focusing on one end of it and on the other. The other end is that these games are battle testing them, and these games are making them better and stronger for those playoff moments.
I'm sufficiently
when they happen.
Battle tested at this point.
Okay. I got it. Yeah.
They've won in the rain, they've won on the road, they've beat the Chiefs. Like, they are battle tested.
So beat some teams.
Stop turning the ball over.
Well,
I mean, seriously, stop turning the ball over. Yeah. Like,
look, the turnovers, I agree. That's something they need to clean up.
It's what could change a game.
Yeah, of course.
I don't really care they're being outgained, but they gave up over 500 yards to the Bills yesterday. Yeah. Like, that's pretty absurd.
And yet they won.
I know.
They win.
I know.
They win.
But it's really easy to go from, man, they win all the time, to like the one time this fluky thing happens for them. Like, they very, very, very well could have lost yesterday.
Sure.
And in some ways deserved to.
But did they?
They did not. But do you see my point?
Like, I get your point. I'm just saying, don't be scared.
It's not about being scared. It's about watching a team that, besides the final result, doesn't feel like a team that would win the next 10 games. And they might, they very well might.
That's who they are.
I know.
I think at a certain, you used this the last time.
It's not who they were last year.
You used the, but it's a different year.
I know.
And again, they did not win the Super Bowl.
And they did not win, yep.
You used the phrase last pod, and I think it's a great phrase, and I'm a big believer in it in general. It's the, when someone shows you who you are, who they are, believe them. Like, yeah. And this Eagles team is showing us who they are.
So I actually think that was a caller. I just want to give them the proper credit.
Okay. Well, yeah. Anyway,
I love that phrase. I just don't say it.
Love that phrase.
Yeah. So shout out to the caller.
Shout out to whoever said that
phrase. Wanted to make sure our callers
get there. But the point being, like, when someone or a team shows you who they are, believe them. This Eagles team has shown us who they are. They're a team that's going to win close games, that they're going to make the breaks that need to be made to win games. They're going to make some mistakes, but they're going to make up for them. Like, and I agree, I don't want turnovers, but I'm not going to start doubting this team just because they're winning close games.
I'm not doubting
the
team.
And because they're turning the ball over.
I'm not doubting the team. I'm just saying, when you, like, also to when someone shows you who you are, believe them, they are a team that turns the ball over.
Sure.
They just are.
And then wins games.
And that is not a way to win football games.
And then wins games in spite of it.
I know, but it's just not a way.
All right. I want to get some more quick hitters stuff in the game. The Lane injury, we barely talked about that. A lot more coming up in a minute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the tempers, this is for real this time. The temperatures are really dropping.
They
rapidly.
Are.
Like, it was dumb cold yesterday outside. And I am happy because, we've been over this, but I like wearing winter jackets. So
you do, and hoodies, the whole thing.
I'm happy it's that time, but when you take the trash out at night or whatever, it's definitely colder than it used to be. In fact, according to this, which I think is a perfect way to put it, it's bone-chillingly cold outside. And because of that, energy costs are on the rise. If you have old drafty windows, your furnace is working harder than ever to keep your family warm. Why pay unnecessarily high energy bills? Why do that? When Window Nation can help you and your family all season long. Window Nation's energy efficient windows are specifically designed for climate changes and will keep the cold air out while lowering your monthly energy costs up to 30%. That is the thing I think I've learned the most since we started working with Window Nation. You think of windows as just like the things at your house that the sun comes in through and you open and close them. You don't think of them as keeping the air in.
No, you're right.
I never thought of it as basically an extension of your HVAC.
I just like you describing what you think windows are.
It's kind of what they are.
Yeah, sure.
They're things that let the sun in.
Yeah.
Or keep the rain out. keep energy cold and up to 30% off of your monthly energy bills. Speaking of savings, this month only, Window Nation is offering 0% interest for 5 years. That's right. 0% interest for 5 years. That's 60 months interest free. What do you think sounds longer, 5 years or 60 months? I think 5 years.
I think 5 years sounds
longer. I think so too.
I agree.
Both very long times. And when you do it now, you...
Both the exact same amount of time.
One's longer. You can't convince me one isn't. And get two free windows for every two you buy. Now is the time to protect your family from the elements, lower your energy costs, and upgrade the look and feel of your home. Call Window Nation today. Get 0% interest for 5 years, plus two free windows for every two you buy. Offer only good this month. Call the company over 200,000 families trust with their homes. Window Nation, that's 866-90-NATION, or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. And tell them Go Birds.
And all that money that you save on the windows, the 60
months.
Well,
you don't even need to save
5 years
point.
Because I just keep winning.
You are on a run.
Take this money, put it in the Bet Parks account, and start gambling with us with the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. We have been absolutely crushing lately, not necessarily making our picks on the pod, but making money on the app, which is what matters. And you can make money with us, have some fun. By the way, so we didn't get to do the Bet Pick Parks pod last week.
Well, because it was a fire.
There was a fire. So there was a reason for it. But yes.
Good news, though. I think we sent each other our picks.
Well,
we both went undefeated,
saying.
Which is pretty wild.
Our
parlay
hit. Well, here's the thing. All jokes aside, our parlay might hit. So Justin Richmond was there. He's the one person who can verify this for us. He was at Parks. When we're doing our show, we were like, hey, should we just pick a parlay? We picked it.
You put it in?
Yeah,
I didn't realize
put it
that.
In. We had Rams minus 2.5, Ravens minus 3, and we have the Vikings minus 3 tonight. So if the Vikings win tonight.
This is absurd. This is truly absurd.
The funniest thing ever.
Yeah, it's
Justin
truly
Richmond
absurd.
Justin Richmond is our one. You will have to clarify for everyone. We actually did win if they win tonight.
Yeah, we should have bet it.
I bet it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
well,
I placed it. Don't worry. I got us covered.
Okay.
But the beautiful thing is it's so much more fun to have some action on these games. You're so invested. You're watching these games saying, please, Justin Herbert, throw a pick when you wouldn't care otherwise.
Yes.
But you care because you got some action on it. And you bet on all this stuff. Plus, you bet on player performances, touchdowns, all that good stuff. Basketball betting going on. Big game tonight. The certain second best player in the history of basketball in town.
Yes.
You know, there's a game you could bet on. Bet on Philadelphia. Some fun stuff.
Well, to be fair, he's always in town. He plays for the team.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Assists, rebounds, points, the whole thing. There's so much to bet on. It's so much fun. The app's easy to use. It's fun. It's secure. It's intuitive. And here's a great deal for you. New users, if you sign up right now, if you make your first bet, it make a $10 bet. If it's a winner, you get $125 in sports bonus back. It is a great deal. You must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Ohio, or Maryland. Gambling problem, call 1-800. Gambler. All right, let's get some other specific stuff yesterday.
You want to talk about Sirianni's decision to kick the point instead of go for two?
Sure, if it seems like you do.
Yeah. So I'm just curious where you fall on it. So they score the touchdown, and I'm now going to forget the specifics, of course.
They were up 27-24 when they scored the touchdown. The extra point makes it 28-24.
Right.
There was a penalty on the extra point
attempt. Yeah, good job.
So they had the opportunity. They could have moved it to the one and made it 29-24.
Yes.
He chose to just keep the point and make it a 4-point lead. I was fine with it. I generally, with the tush push, you know, it's like, sure, if you get the from the 1-yard line, just always push it in. It's probably just an automatic. You should probably do it. But when you're talking about the difference between a 3-point lead and a 4-point lead where they have to score a touchdown, and I know that then you could have had a chance to win it at the end of regulation, all that, like, I'm taking the 4-point lead. The point was already on the board. If you don't get the tush push, which I know is an impossibility, but if you don't, it's a 3-point game and they get tied with a field goal. So I generally, as a rule, you know, when you get the extra yard with the tush push, I'll take it. But I was fine with him not going for the two.
I think your logic, I agree with all of it if we were talking about a team that didn't have the tush push.
Look, I get it. But again, I just...
It could have burned them. But think about this. They go up five instead of four. But which means on the next possession, when the Bills score, they have to go for two more than likely instead of kick that extra point.
Right.
Like, you could have won the game right there almost.
Yeah, look, if they had gotten the two, then you're just in the exact same spot.
You are,
it's a 50-50 play with Josh Allen, which probably makes it a 60-40 play. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, I get your point. I need to make sure that they can't tie with a field goal.
I
have to.
So think about now this season. There was the 2-point thing against Minnesota where he didn't go for two when he should have against Minnesota.
That one he just forgot.
But regardless, didn't get the job done there. And then they score too early against Washington, which I was okay with, but they did score too early against Washington. DeAndre Swift runs the ball in against Washington and for that touchdown, then they end up getting closer than it should have been. And now there's this, while I agree they're battle tested and that's good, and look, Sirianni's certainly getting reps in this, there's been a few times now where they have, in my opinion, made a bad final minute type of decision with the 2-point conversion or with managing this thing. And if we think they're going to play close games, I don't know if Sirianni has showed he's making the right decisions in these moments.
So I disagree with you on this one.
I
don't think it was the wrong decision. I'm fine with him kicking the extra point here. So I disagree on this one.
Okay.
I think the others you mentioned, I did have a problem with in the moment. So I think Nick does a great job managing games. I'm not too concerned about it. Does he need to make a tighter decisions here and there at the end of games potentially? But again, I didn't have a problem with this one. So I'm not
curious to know what analytics said.
I am very fine with him taking the extra point there.
And you know, if I was on the sideline, maybe you do
again,
just you
I
don't take the
take
point
the,
off the
in
board.
In this specific
but...
case, I would take the extra point. Like if it were forget like even with the tush push, like the I don't think 4 or 5 is that big a deal. Like, I get that why, but like, I expect Josh Allen to probably get the 2 point. You know, like,
yeah, but like, I don't think you can manage the game that way. Like,
no,
you
but
have
my
to...
point is, I think you have to manage the game for the 4 points. I think the making sure you have 4 points is more important than the chance for 5.
But the chance they were going to get 5 was like 98%.
Yeah,
percent. I mean, they've gotten stopped one time all year.
Fumble snap, this or that. Like, I know it's the same as an extra point theoretically. I just,
I get the point about making it a touchdown versus a field goal. I do for sure.
That's what I would have done.
It just, I don't know, man. Feels like
I think we spent too much time talking about.
I don't know, man. I think this is something that is a bit of a red flag.
I really don't.
There's been a lot of end of game situations where we've done pods and said, maybe wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, there's been like 2.
And well,
not today.
Four.
This is not one. Right. I agree. I think the Washington DeAndre Swift going in the end zone, and that might have been DeAndre. Like, Nick should coach it into him, but that might have been DeAndre thing. And I think the not going for 2 against Minnesota, but they were up 14 points at that point, so you just weren't thinking about it in the moment.
But that, like, you can't not think
agree,
about it.
I agree, but I'm not going to kill him for it. Like, I don't think it didn't cost him the game. None of these cost him the game. Like, I don't know. I don't think yesterday was an issue, personally.
Okay.
So we agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
You're very fired up about that one. All right, let's get to the Lane thing, because that was unexpected out of nowhere. We wake up and Lane's out, you know, essentially. Yeah. He worked out before the game, all that. Jack Driscoll played well, considering it started rough, but considering he was found out the day of the game he was going to play. I was shocked they were able to manage as well as they did.
Do you think Jack Driscoll was excited or like, when he found out he was going to play?
I think he was excited, but I get your point.
I don't know, it's raining. I think it's really, really hard to go out and do what Jack Driscoll did.
Yeah, he did
to
great.
Find out the morning of the game after not practicing all week, and I know you practice if you're going to play, but let's be honest, like, you're not taking the first team reps. I think for him to go out and play like that was impressive. And he was not good in the first half, or at least the first quarter. I haven't had a chance to rewatch the game yet, but he was on the field when they scored 30 points. So clearly, you know, he was not hindering them. I think the concern with the Lane thing is, and I think the fact that that Lane was in the stadium and on the sideline is like a really, really good sign, especially with a groin injury, because they don't put you on the sideline if they don't think you can like protect yourself from. And at one point, honestly, a defender did run almost right into him, if you saw, or I guess it would have been, it was a defender, I'm pretty sure, almost ran right into him. Look, he had the MRI. He still worked out. That's a good sign. I think he probably will play against the Niners. I just think the concern is, like, is this something that's going to bother him the rest of the
year?
Is it something where he's going to have to wake up on game days and just hope that...
Yeah, let's hope it was something weird like that where he just woke up and they played it safe. I agree with you. I think the fact they worked him out on the field. If they get the MRI back and there's an issue, he's not even...
I agree. He's not even in the stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so I think it was all positive. I agree. And they won the game without him. Back to the touch push. I meant to say this. I will say, watching the other games in the morning, like, it is just such a... It is so clear what a big advantage the Tush
Push. Well, yeah.
It is. I mean, the amount of teams that fail on 3rd and 4th and 1 is wild to watch. And the amount of teams that, like Houston had 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1, and they went shotgun both plays, threw it both plays.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I watching right now? Like, it is, there's so much debate about the play itself. I don't think we know it's important. I don't think we talk enough about just how important it is that anything in one is an automatic advantage. It's unbelievable.
I mean, third downs are the most important downs in the NFL, besides maybe arguably fourth down. And whenever they have to get it, like, they get it.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it really is. I don't know what to say about it, but you're right. Like,
we talk
about the controversy of the play a lot, but in terms of just being something that helps them win.
That's my point.
It is.
It's all about the controversy of the play.
Yeah.
Like, it is a massively important tool in their toolbox.
Yeah. That's why I would have gone for 2.
I know. That's why I brought it up. All right, so good news on Lane there. Defense. We haven't really talked much about the defense. What was your thoughts? Obviously, look, Josh Allen, it felt like 3rd and 1 million he would have gotten it on any time. Like, he was unstoppable on 3rd downs. They said, it's like the most 3rd and 7 or more converted in a game. There were all kinds of stats about how bad the Eagles' D was on 3rd and long in this game. And all season has been an issue.
Yeah, I mean, the defense wasn't great.
Let's
call it what it is.
You can also say, like, look, they lost Fletcher Cox in the game. No Milton Williams coming in the game. I mean, Jordan Davis had to make 65. Jordan Davis made 65 snaps,
props,
man.
Props to Jordan Davis for that.
And on that last play, like, really running hard.
Props to him for that.
Like, Jalen Carter played, like, 80% of the snaps.
Yeah,
I mean,
after
Jalen Carter
back,
I think I saw Rube put out that Jalen Carter played the most snaps by an Eagles defensive tackle in like a decade. There were all these. So 95 snaps for the defense, that alone. So Reed Blankenship between playing the 95 snaps on defense and the 21 snaps on special teams, this is a wild one, Root, put out. Reed Blankenship last night played the most snaps by a player in the NFL since 2012 in a game.
Since what? Since when?
2012 was the last time some Detroit Lion played that many snaps in a game. Since 2012, Reed Blankenship was on the field more than anyone since 2012 last night. So, you know, not a great showing from the D, but also, you know, out there a lot, injuries, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it, too, is you have to give credit. Like, Josh Allen was also unbelievable.
Josh Allen was great.
And he made some throws where it didn't really matter.
And like, he didn't make mistakes. He didn't make the mistakes that plague him. Tony Romo kept pointing out on the broadcast, and Romo was not amazing or anything, kept pointing out, he's like, he's taking the checkdowns. He's not trying to force things. Like, this is the way Josh Allen should play.
Yeah. So I think from a defensive perspective, like, shout out to Bradbury, had that huge interception.
Huge.
Which was obviously massive. I mean, Hassan Reddick, I thought, had a good game. Like, by the way,
and Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter were great out there. Like, there were issues because of timing, but they had great games.
Yeah.
Guys.
I mean, you know, my opinion.
The field goal too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that was
for sure.
Just athletic.
It is impressive how much film he watches. I don't know why I'm so surprised by it, but when you just hear about, like, the stuff about him at Georgia with, like, his work ethic there, and then, like, I don't know. I know defensive linemen watch film, but it's just not something I hear a lot in my time covering the team.
Well, and even just the idea that he saw the kid in the high school game.
That's what I mean. It feels like every time Jalen Carter talks, he's talking about something he's picked up on film, which I think is really, really impressive, and is going to prolong his career, if we're being honest.
He's amazing.
He's not just winning with, like, he is winning with his physical tools, but also he's winning
he's
because he knows what
player.
He's doing.
Yeah, you're
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
But no, I mean, look, for me, the defense did not play well. They gave up, what was it, 34 points? Or
34 points.
Yeah. So that's not a good outing. But they were playing a desperate Bills team, which, by the way, like, I think it's still a good Bills team.
Well, I didn't realize. I wish you had had this stat when we were talking about the Bills. It would have been a good one for you. Last night's the first time the Bills lost a game by more than 6 points this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not surprising. They lose a lot of close games.
But that
is,
I mean, it just says, like, they're not getting blown out at
all. No, for sure.
Like, they know how to lose.
Like, I would be stunned if the Bills won a Super Bowl. They need a new head coach.
They're not going to make the playoffs,
buddy. No, yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs, yeah. But I'm not too worked up about the defense. It's pouring rain.
They might
it's Josh
playoffs,
Allen.
But they're out of it right now.
Yeah. I think they deserve to be in the playoffs.
This is
talk about
big,
fair, yeah. I'd have to look at the other AFC teams.
I'm loving the fair and deserved.
I mean,
it's a good angle.
The best way to describe it.
Yeah,
but,
it is.
I'm not worked up about the defense. I'm not concerned.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
Look,
like, it was pouring rain. It was Josh Allen. They were desperate.
And
I
you
mean,
know what? Something we said last year, talking about the Chiefs and the Super Bowl and just kind of reacting in the aftermath.
Right.
And with this Eagles D last year versus this year, like, something the Chiefs did last year is, like, their D might not have been great, but, like, they got big stops.
Yeah.
Or they made a big play when they needed it. Like, this defense gets big stops.
They do.
And they make big plays when they need it. Like, again, like,
they,
multiple
I mean, they
times
held
last night,
overtime.
Field goal in overtime. Like, multiple times last night when the defense absolutely had to have it.
Yeah.
They find ways to get it done. Like, not always, but it does feel like, you know, they get it done. And again, they do have a ton of talent on that line, and especially if those guys are healthy. It really is. It's special.
So, last year, we debated the defense a bunch. Like, I was pro Gannon, you were not. But, like, we would both agree to a point, like, there was a chance that if they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, it would have been because they couldn't stop a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this year, I'd be very surprised if when they are eliminated, I'd be surprised if it's because of the defense.
Yeah, well, how about the fact that...
Or if they are eliminated.
I mean, look, they've beaten, and again, you know, maybe they didn't stop Josh Allen, but they've beaten Josh Allen,
Patrick Mahomes,
Dak Prescott, Tua, like, all this don't beat a good quarterback. Like,
Kirk Cousins when he was still
they're
pretty good.
They're putting a nice little resume together in terms of that stuff.
Agreed.
I think it's... I feel the exact same way about the D. I thought it wasn't their best showing, but again, Josh Allen was great. You know, also sometimes it's like almost like an annoying thing, and the players will do it. We're like, you know, like, let's give the other team some credit. That's a good football team. It's like, but you know, it's sometimes like
it's
Josh Allen was really good.
Yeah, he was really, really good.
I was annoyed that they couldn't tackle him on some of those plays. You're damn right I was. Like, there were a couple of times where I'm like, just freaking get this guy to the ground. What are we doing? But like, Josh Allen's pretty
he
hard
can
to get
really
to the
throw the ball. He can.
He has a.
Now I will say
he has a beautiful arm.
I can see why receivers drop his pass
because he fires it.
Like, and Hurts does not do that.
Yeah,
but
which is important. That's part of being a quarterback.
Right.
You've been big on the catchable ball thing.
Yeah,
it's a super important thing. So I don't know if you heard this. I thought this was just a few quick hitters before we get out of here. They mentioned on the broadcast, a sideline reporter mentioned Jalen got hurt at the Jets game. Did we know this? I don't think we knew this, right?
No, is that what she said?
So, yes, apparently Jalen Hurts hurt himself in the Jets game.
Okay. I thought it was the Rams game, but that's good
she
to know.
She said that Jalen told her that. So it was like, wait, what?
Jalen told her?
Jalen told her wow. that he got hurt in the Jets game, which we never
He had
hear.
The brace on again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm sure he'll love to talk about that at a press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to hear his take on that.
I don't know what you
that.
Guys want me to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. what a stud that guy is. But, you know, answer questions, right?
Yeah.
It's your job. All right. That was that. Two last things for me, and then we'll get to final thoughts. If you have anything else, feel free to throw it in there.
Yeah, I have one. We'll see if you
okay,
get
Okay, so
it,
two. One, Frank Reich, would you? So for those who don't know, Frank Reich just got fired. I don't remember. Urban Meyer, I guess, is the only other thing I can think of. And that was like a whole off the field.
Yeah.
It is exceedingly rare for an NFL coach not to get a year.
Yeah.
Not
to mention there's like six games.
Dude, he got fired 11 games into the season.
Yeah.
I mean, that is something special.
Frank Reich might not be a good head coach.
I feel pretty confident
for people to maybe.
Would you bring him in? I mean, Nick's guy, you know, not over Brian Johnson or anything, obviously, but in terms of, and you know, mention real quick, because we didn't talk about Brian Johnson all, and it's another, I think it's hilarious because the Brian Johnson thing has been a really clear pattern of the first half. Everyone on Twitter calling for his job,
and then, he's
the
awesome
second half.
Yeah.
So, your thoughts on Brian Johnson, but also the right thing? Would you bring him in as a senior advisor or whatever?
My opinion is this: if I was Jeffrey Lurie or Howie,
whatever Nick wants, he gets.
I think Nick has earned the right.
I agree.
If
with this.
He wants to hire Frank Reich, let him hire Frank Reich.
Sure,
but I want to be clear: I do not think they need Frank Reich. I do not think Brian Johnson needs Frank Reich's help. I guess you could argue like Frank Reich has been on a Super Bowl run, so maybe there's some advantage having him. But I also think there's a bit of a risk of bringing in Frank. Like, I don't know, man. He might just not be good.
Let Nick do his own thing. Don't listen to Frank.
Exactly. Like, I'm a little worried that if Frank came in, like,
Nick would defer
to him or, like, maybe give him a little more of, like, props or input than he deserves at this point. So I think Nick's earned the right. I would trust Nick if he wanted to bring him in. But if it was up to me, I would not hire Frank Reich. Then again, I was worked about Matt Patricia.
So. 10-1.
It didn't kill him yet.
10-1. They said on the broadcast last night also, it was 9-1 at the time. I don't know about 10-1, but first 9-1. Eagles, the first team to lose the Super Bowl and go 9-1 since the 1991 Buffalo Bills.
Well, it has to be 10-1 then.
So yeah, well, I don't know if the Bills went 10-1
or
not.
Oh, true. Yeah,
was my point. So it could be longer.
What year
could
was
be
that?
Ever. 1991.
Okay, that's a real year. I thought it was like some.
It's a real year.
60 years.
That's good. All right, and then my last thing, prior to final thoughts on that. Oh, and by the way, with the Jalen thing, we forgot to mention this, but assuming he stays healthy, and because we felt this way last year and then he got hurt, but Jalen Hurts won the MVP last night. Like, I think the combo of the last 6 days, the Chiefs game, and then particularly what he did last night in the walk-off, Jalen Hurts is the MVP of the league if he stays healthy and keeps winning.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Okay, last thing.
I think
thing.
He's almost getting to a point where even if he gets hurt. Like, he deserves...
He deserves it.
Yeah.
But again, we saw last year. We saw it happen where out of sight, out of mind. Like, this is a dumb award that they're voting for. Not dumb award, but dumb way it's voted for, whatever. There's narratives. There's all that. So, all right, last thing. And again, it has to finish out. But let's say the season continues on some type of pace like this. Like, you know, maybe they actually have one blowout, but it's usually like the close games, whatever. Is this the most entertaining season of all time? Like... In terms of forgetting
Eagles,
Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, you could argue any football team,
I'm
really.
Just curious.
But in terms of the Eagles, like obviously it's stressful, and we don't like it would be nice if we could just have an easy win on. But just in terms of like, as a football fan, right? We're coming to these games. We want to see a well fought game where both teams are in it, and it comes down to the wire, and there's some exciting thing that happens or whatever. Like every freaking game this year, man.
Yeah.
Like every game.
Yeah.
I don't ever, and I know the Dolphins one was, I think, the only one they won by.
But still an awesome night.
And it was a great game that at the end they pulled away. Like, I don't ever remember a season where it felt like every single game was compelling. Like, I think this has a chance to be the most entertaining Eagles season of all time.
So I was thinking about Justin from Tennessee yesterday.
He's the first person I texted after the game. There was a period of time where I was so sad for him.
I know, me
and
too.
I am so freaking happy that
same.
He got. I'm
exactly
so
the
happy,
same.
Dude. I texted him immediately. I'm so happy for you.
I bring that up is because you're thinking about the season. Like, I think going to Eagles games this year There might be moments where you're like, wow, why did I spend all this money on tickets? But when you leave the stadium, man, like you're like Justin and all the fans over there will remember that night for the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their lives.
Even though it was miserable and rainy and all that.
That's part of the reason they will, though, is he went through that for that.
It's like this. I mean, it's not the Snow Bowl game, but, you know, it's one of those nights where the weather adds to it.
Yeah.
Granted, if they had a dome, we could have just enjoyed the game warm. But, no, I mean, look, in terms of most entertaining, like, it's hard to think of one, you know. I'm a prisoner of the moment, so I'll just say yes. The 2017 was pretty entertaining. Last year was pretty awesome. The 0-1 Sixers, like, but yeah, I mean, just in terms of the opponents they are playing and the way these games are playing,
it's
been a pretty wild.
I'm just talking
ride.
About like that, like just the way the games are playing out. You know, it's been pretty wild, man.
Yeah, it's been quite a season.
All right, you got anything else for final thoughts?
Man, Devontae Smith.
Great point. We didn't bring him up. Just because he's like a metronome. He just goes out. He's always open on that crosser over the middle. When they need a 3rd and 8, a 3rd and 6,
yeah,
a 3rd and 10.
He's always there.
It's just that play over the mids every time. He's like just there.
I know people don't like when
the Hurts throw to Zaccheaus, by the way. We didn't mention it, but that whole play.
Unbelievable play. I know that people like when you compare AJ and Devontae, and it's like they're on the same team.
AJ doesn't like it, right?
Yeah. Well, I would just say, as awesome as AJ is, if you said to me you could only keep one.
Wow.
I think there is an argument.
Wow. Well, this is what I said to start the season.
And they're both awesome. Like, again, they're both awesome.
I think they're really close.
I think
close.
Devontae as a personality gets so undersold, man. Like, that dude, we talk about Jalen as a winner. Like, Devontae is a winner. I think a big reason they have a winning culture there is because of Devontae. Like, even just, like, after little things, I see Devontae celebrating with his teammates so much. And I think it's so important. And he's awesome at football and, like, all those things super matter. But I just think Devontae is like top 5 most important personality in that locker room. And that he's the best.
Look at you.
Yeah.
He's a great player. I love it.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our 4th year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Final thoughts, my friend.
All right.
You said you had a great... Oh, you burned it.
Well,
I'll use it.
You're going to
use
it
anyway? Right. Okay, good.
So, Mariah Carey...
I hated it.
I know you did. Mariah Carey is coming to play a Christmas concert. And look, obviously I want to go. It's the best Christmas song of all time. So, of course, part of me is like, I want to go. But, like, she only has the one song. And so it's like, am I going to sit there for an hour and listen to her sing other songs I don't really want to hear? And it got me thinking. I think the best version of a concert would be, like, so you're on, like, the Wells Fargo floor. Like, as a DJ, everyone's, like, you know, like, so, like, music, drinking, whatever. And then unexpectedly throughout the night, the artist comes out and plays a song. And then they go back, and, like, they can play as many hits as they have. So it's like, if it's Mariah Carey at a Christmas concert.
Yeah, you sold this to me as one song.
Well,
Mariah
Carey
comes out,
look, if it's one song, it's one song.
It's horrible.
The hit. They get to play the hit. And they come unexpectedly. Like, imagine you're listening to music.
Well, the unexpected, if you're at a club and Mariah Carey comes out, that's obviously awesome. You're going to
But you don't know when
concert.
They're coming is the point.
This is so weird. Like, that's horrible. And you're just waiting around.
Like, a song starts, like, think about you're at, like, a... You know, everyone's dancing or whatever. And, like, Bring Him Out by T.I. starts to play. And the beat comes like, oh, I love this song. And then it's like, oh, my God, here he comes. He's doing this one. Like, I think the element of surprise would be unbelievable. Instead of having to sit through and, like, pretend like, oh, nice, she's doing Silver Bells. Like, no one wants to hear this. Like, just let her play the hits.
This is from someone who goes to a concert to want to hear one or two songs.
Yeah.
That's the problem with your whole take. I want to hear all the songs.
Play the hits. And in between, just play other songs that are better than other songs she has. That might not be hers, but, like, whatever. It's not about her. It's about the experience. That's how I would do concerts.
You are the worst.
Yeah.
Every concert take you have, just...
Concert would be so much better if I was
grinds my gears.
What's because you like
deep,
to listen to, like...
I love to go to concerts. Such a deep spiritual way.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. You look for different things.
I'm going to give 2 final thoughts just to wash my mouth out with yours. One is a Zoe thought, and then another just... Actually, I have another one I want to do, actually. I'm going to save a final thought. I'm just going to give a Zoe one. I'm going to give 2 quotes. One.
All right.
Watched a bunch of movies this weekend, which was the highlight of my time. Hold on. Let me list my movies that I watched. I watched Alien, which I hadn't seen since I was a kid.
It's just
amazing movie.
Yeah.
Like, a brilliant, like,
never
the
seen
best
it,
sci-fi
obviously.
Horror movie ever made. Equalizer 3, very entertaining.
Don't even know what it is.
It's Denzel from last year. You could get on board with that. It's 2022 yeah. movie.
Never heard of it.
Well, at least it's in your... Old Boy? Yo.
What's Here's this movie?
Old Boy is a Korean movie. It's a thriller. It's like a revenge movie. Yo.
Subtitles?
Yeah.
All right. I'm in on subtitles.
Old Boy's amazing.
Okay.
Old Boy is like...
How long is it?
It's like 2 hours long.
Okay.
It is... It is. I don't want to say anything about it because it's all about the like. There's a lot of plot stuff and all. Right. I don't want to say anything.
It's good.
Unbelievable.
It's good.
Movie.
Okay.
Then I also watched Barbie. Finally.
Yeah, you told me this.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I watched Her again, which I've been meaning to watch for a while. Again,
I feel like I've seen Her.
Great movie. It's with Scarlett Johansson as like the voice.
Oh, I think I've seen bits and pieces. Or,
very good.
Yeah.
And then I watched The Big Chill for the first time since I was a kid. I watched it with my dad. That movie's awesome.
The Big Chill.
The Big Chill.
Don't know what it is.
It's from 1980.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Phenomenal movie with a great cast. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because Emily and I watched Bridesmaids together for the first time.
Good movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Legitimately one of the funniest lines of all time is in that movie. And I totally forgot about it. But when she gets on the plane, Kristen Wiig, and she goes back to coach and she sits down next to the woman. And she's like, the woman looks at her.
People can see how hard you are laughing right now.
I was dying. I literally paused. I was like, Emily, I have to pause the movie so I can write the quote down so I can say it as a mom.
Yeah.
She sits down on the plane. The woman next to her looks at her and goes, I had a dream I got into a plane crash last night. You were in it. Oh my God, what's happening? I just thought about it. If I was on a plane and I'm sitting next to someone, I'm like, I had a dream I got into a plane crash.
I don't know what I would do.
You were in it. Like, oh my God. Like, what a freaking line.
I don't know. Yeah.
I was dying laughing.
Okay. I have to rewatch that movie. I'm not a big rewatch guy. Yeah, it reminds me of Superbad in a way. Like, similar levels of funny.
Yeah, I agree. It was very, very funny. Anyway, I was dying. I dreamed I got in a plane crash last night. You were in it. Can you imagine if someone said that to you?
No, I would hope not, never to hear that.
All right, and now my Zoe thought. And I'll save a tease for next one. I have a word that I love that I want to use more often.
I'm sure you'll hear it.
Yeah. Here was Thanksgiving with Zoe. Very sweet. So we sit down for Thanksgiving. And
like,
you know, what are we thankful about? And Emily and I both go, Zoe, we're thankful for you.
Wow.
And Zoe goes, and it's very sweet. You think like, oh, I'm thankful for you guys.
Right,
goes, I'm thankful for everyone in the world because everyone is so nice. So I'm thankful for them.
Wow. So she said you in a way.
In a way.
Yeah, you were in there.
I would have preferred she just said me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. Right. That's my daughter.
That was very sweet of her to say.
Very sweet.
Yes. Yeah. So it was nice of her to shout me out.
Yeah, she was just talking about you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Justin from Tennessee.
Everyone in the world, AKA.
All the real ones in Auto
Shout out to
letters.
Justin in Tennessee.
Yes.
What an awesome.
It was awesome to meet him.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, that is it.
Back later in the week. Previewing the... last thing. Oh, my God. What a disgrace that the Eagles are freaking underdogs in the night. Are you out? Like,
it's unbelievable.
Shut down betting. Except for Bet Parks. Bet Parks can stay. Like, what are we doing here? They're 10-1. It's the first time the first time in the history of the NFL that a 10-1 team has been a home underdog. It's never happened.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly disrespectful.
It's disrespectful.
I would argue it's more disrespectful than the underdog thing. In 2017.
Ooh. Yeah, I think so, because they didn't have Wentz.
Right?
Yeah.
So, now obviously it's, you know, a line where you look at it and you're like, uh-oh. But.
Fishy line. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. Last thing I'll say on the pod, and then we'll wrap it up. Actually, never mind.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Save it for.
Yeah, I'll
look,
save it.
We're going to do the preview pod later this week. Big one.
Yeah, it's a big one.
This is a big one.
The songwriter quote was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. He was like, shut up. It was like, talk's cheap, man. I can't wait.
So we'll talk about it later in the week.
Preview of the game, biggest game of the year in terms of hype and all that. So we'll get into that later in the week. And obviously, Parks Picks Pod, the whole thing until we lead up to, yet again, the biggest game of the year. That's all we do is every week is the biggest game of the year. And this one is a friggin' big one. That's coming up later in the week. Until then, he's Elliot James.